Support for NHPR's Something Wild podcast comes from you, our listeners and subscribers, and from the Gundalow Company, offering public sailing trips, charters, and summer adventure camps on the Piscataqua River from Portsmouth, exploring the region's maritime heritage and environment. More at gundalow.org.
Kirk Dorsey wanted to be an ornithologist, so he went to Cornell University.
I was not a particularly good student at ornithology and all the biology classes, but I was taking history classes for fun.
And in his junior year, he found himself in a U.S. foreign policy class.
There was half a sentence in a textbook that in 1916, the United States and Canada negotiated a treaty to protect migratory birds. I thought, wow, I had no idea. I need to learn more about that. So when I got to graduate school, that became the subject of my dissertation.
Wow. That's cool, but who's Kirk Dorsey?
Good question. I'm Chris Martin, you're Dave Anderson, and this is Something Wild. And I spoke with Kirk, who's a professor of history at UNH. Instead of becoming an ornithologist with an interest in history, he became a historian with an interest in birds.
So what was this treaty he was talking about?
In 1916, the International Migratory Bird Treaty made it illegal for anyone to take, possess, import, export, transport, sell, purchase, barter, or offer for sale, purchase, or barter any migratory bird or the parts, nests, or eggs of such bird except under the terms of a valid permit issued pursuant to the federal regulations.
Clear as mud.
Basically, the treaty was designed to stop people in the U.S. and Canada from hunting most migratory birds, everything from orioles to oyster catchers.
Well, that's good news. But how did this come about? Why was something like this even necessary?
Dorsey said that in 1916, extinction was kind of on the minds of Americans.
The extinction of species that were thought to be basically inexhaustible, particularly passenger pigeons, obviously of interest to birds.
Oh, yeah. Those used to be one of the most common species in the country.
But due to unregulated harvest, within the span of a generation, they'd practically disappeared.
But also the decline of the American bison was a shock to many people who had a faith that there simply were going to be wildlife resources and natural resources endlessly, that they could never destroy all the natural bounty of North America.
These were sobering events for the country and helped to inform calls for environmental reform in the late 19th and very early 20th centuries.
Sure. There was the Weeks Act in 1911. That led to the creation of the White Mountain National Forest in 1918.
The National Park Service was created in 1916. It was a busy time for conservation. And as Dorsey explained, there's a reason we've dubbed it the Progressive Era, because it was an era
in which American leaders more often than not listened to the benefit of science. And so if you had a white lab coat on, you were in the money in this time period.
So the U.S. strikes up this treaty with Canada. Case closed?
Not exactly. It took another 2 years for Congress to ratify it. From the beginning, there was disagreement about the federal government having authority over these matters. Many thought it should have been left to the states to regulate.
And this was designed to prevent people from hunting birds.
Actually, you just put your finger on another nub here. The statute uses the word take. You can't take birds.
So what does take even mean?
That's something that's been debated for the better part of a century. At the beginning, it was thought take mostly meant hunt. But that has changed with time.
And that changed largely because of some court cases out in California with the wildlife refuges in the Central Valley, where selenium was leaching into the water in the refuges and causing all sorts of deformities. And basically, the courts ruled that was what taking meant.
The courts ruled that habitat loss due to pollution qualified as taking?
Yep.
Wow. So was this treaty, this law, effective?
Yeah, there are a lot of birds that were on the bubble and have bounced back, like the snowy egret, prized by haberdashers for their ornate feathers and how they looked on hats.
Well, those were some pretty dope hats.
But more than 1,000 species are now protected by the treaty. Estimates of the number of individual birds saved range from millions to billions.
Well, either way, it's a lot of beautiful wild birds.
No kidding. I'm Chris Martin.
And I'm Dave Anderson.
Something Wild is a joint production of New Hampshire Audubon, the Society for the Protection of New Hampshire Forests, and NHPR.
Our producer is Andrew Perella.
Our long-suffering
producer.
Still suffering at the moment.
Yes.
Support NHPR today and get entered to win a trip to Nashville, Tennessee. Catch a show at the legendary Grand Ole Opry, stroll along the Music City Wall of Fame, or see where Dolly Parton, Johnny Cash, and Elvis Presley made music history. Give as an NHPR sustainer, and you're entered into all our drawings, including a once-in-a-lifetime trip to Australia or New Zealand. Don't wait. Become an NHPR sustainer today at nhpr.org.